Am I left-handed? A little confusing. I use my different hands for different things. Forgive me. I forgot to make Rosh Hashanah. I admit, I didn't. Haven't been up for 3 hours learning. No. Not used to. So. I was told you're up to your settlement base. Okay. So, you just finished the Mishnah?
Start a little bit more.
Okay, so, I mean, just to recap very briefly, the Mishnah basically spoke out of halacha, stamna darm lahachna, which means, and this is going to be the discussion of the next amud or blad or so, that basically if somebody utilizes a lashon, a terminology, which has one of two possible implications, and the question is, which implication did he have in mind when he used that lashon, when he used that terminology? If one implication would mean that it's not a valid neder because he made a neder on a davar hanoder, something which was already usur, in which case the halacha of the neder is not valid. The other possible implication of the terminology is that he made a valid neder. So the halacha stam neder mahachmir, we interpret his words to be referring to have the implication which would make his neder valid, and therefore he becomes usur in whatever it is he made a neder about. That was the basic halacha of the Mishnah. So there's a, I don't know if you, Rabbi Margaret told me that you see the rush when you learn the Mishnah, but so the important rush on the Mishnah, the rush seems to understand that the halacha of stam nadar lahachmer is not a halacha that we assume that we take on misafik, meaning to say we're not sure what he meant, so therefore, seiko d'oraisa l'chumra, we have a matter of a doubt as it pertains to a mitzvah min ha-toira, which is that of a neder, of taking a vow. So therefore, we're going to assume the more stringent position. The Kriya Sefer, that's the Mabit, or Moshe Trani in his Sefer Kriya Sefer on the Rambam, he assumes that the basis of this halacha of the Mishnah, of Stam Adar Mahachmir, is Seiko Doraisa L'chumra, which has a lot of ramifications, because then according to the Mabit, if in the case of the Mishnah, somebody then goes and violates the neder, then he's not Chayiv Malkus, because he doesn't get lashes, because it was only a suffix. We don't know for certain that this nether was hal, it's only a suffix. But the Rosh seems to take issue with the Mabit's explanation. The Rosh writes on the Mishnah, you probably saw it yesterday, but just recap because it's important for the coming Gemara. The Rosh writes that Stam Nadarm Lahachmer, so the Rosh says Midulay Shosak, from the fact that he said what he said and wasn't silent. In other words, if the guy was trying to avoid having to prohibit anything for himself, he could have just kept quiet, right? So from the fact that he said something, we assume that by virtue of the fact that he actually went ahead and verbalized something, he meant to change something. He meant to assume an isser prohibited status for whatever it was that he was making the neder about. So it seems, according to the Rosh, that when the Mishnah says Stam Nadar Mahachmer, that's not simply just because out of doubt and we want to be safe, we take on a more stringent interpretation, but rather it's a din vadai. That means the person's neder is chal mi din vadai, and therefore if he violates his neder, then he would be chayav malchus. That's how the Rosh seems to understand the mission of Stam Nadar Mahachmer. Okay, says the Gemara. I was told that you do about an omer a day. Okay, so I mean, the Amudim in Maseches Nedarim are not very long. So I assume that means because you ask a lot of questions and we handle a lot, right?
I would say that we do whatever we do.
You say we do whatever you do? Okay.
When Rev Margaret wrote the test, which seems to be the most,
yeah.
He said he did not write any test questions after what he felt covered, so that you were free to cover whatever.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. So the Gemara says the Hotanan. We looked at the Mishnah Maseches Tyrus. The Mishnah states, "Sofik Nezirus Lahakel." So the Gemara's question seems to be that Nezirus, somebody takes on a vow of Nezirus of becoming an Ozer, that's also a form of a nether, of a vow. And So presumably the halacha should be that stam nazir should be lachumra, like our Mishnah said, just like stam nadar lahachmer, stam nazir should be lachumra. Yet our Mishnah Mesachas Taira says sofek nazirus lahakel, that if you have a doubt as to somebody's the status of somebody's nazirus, whether he's a nazir or not, so then the halacha is that you go lahakel. So that's the Gemara's question. So take a look at the Rosh. The Rosh says the following. So the first Rosh on the Gemara. So that's four lines from the bottom of the Amud in the explanation of the Rosh. V'hotanan sofik nazirus lahakel says the Rosh mishnah hi b'terek dalav de tyrus. The mishnah of the tyrus. For example, case is the Amar Hareini nazir sheyesh b'krizen meyakor. He says I'm going to be a nazir if this pile of grain has 100 kor. I mean, you know, you're checking your bank account. And you're hoping that you got that big fat check from whoever, from the government, and you say, you know, if my bank account is more than $10,000, that's it. Eibishter, I'm not saying this, but the guy says, and I'll be a nazir, right? So, Yishomer al hakoy harini nazir, shezachayu behema, or he says about a koy. A koy is an animal of questionable identity, meaning we're not sure if it's a chayu or a behema. And he says, if it's a chayu or a behema, then I'm going to be a nazir. So,
if it's a chayu or... He said what?
He said the Rosh has lashon is shezachaya ubehema. So it seems like he's saying ooh. He says chaya ubehema. He says a wild animal and a behema. We're going to see because the next couple of lines that's going to be a very important point that you're raising. When a person talks about a koi, whether he's saying both or one. So the lashon of the Rosh sounds like ubehema, but that sounds stranger thing because a koi is one or the other, can't be both, right? Unless you say that by a koi, there is a suffix, you know, what its identity is, and perhaps it's possible that it has characteristics.
We'll never know.
So generally speaking, by a koi, right, we'll never know, but it's not assumed to be a suffix be'etzem, like an androgynous. You have by people. An androgynous is a Greek word. In English, it's called an androgynous. it means the same thing. Androgynous is something be'etzem, and they have features of both male and female. But a koy is assumed to be either one or the other. We don't know, but right here, the lashon u is a little interesting. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Are you saying that a tumtum is suffix?
So a tumtum is we're just not sure.
An androgynous is both.
The word is androgynous with a G?
In English, it is.
Oh, I thought it was G.
Soft G.
Oh, interesting. I asked an English professor once. Okay, that's what I thought.
Learn Gemara.
What?
You probably didn't learn Gemara.
Not as much as he should have. Yeah.
This is actually not an uncommon word.
Androgynous. Okay.
Yeah.
So androgynous has features of both, and therefore,
right.
A tumtum is it has one or the other. We just don't know because it's covered up. It's internal in the body, right?
I have no idea.
No, it's a something.
Androgynous is something which is being something.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that.
If you want the developmental reasons for that, I can
read
later.
Yeah, I'd love to hear. I'd be interested to hear. So the Gemara says, we have a question from Nazirus. So the Gemara says, state Sofik Nazirus Lahakil. And as according to the Rosh, the case of Sofik Nazirus is, the fellow says, he's not sure about a certain Mitzvah reality. And he says, if the reality is what I hope it is, or what I think it is, then I'll be another. So since we're not sure if he's another. So the Halacha is Sofik Nazirus Lahakil. So from this halacha, the Gemara wants to ask a stira contradiction to the halacha of the Mishnah. I'm not
Dharma Lahasmer.
By
the Mishnah, he doesn't fit at all.
He's Mutar. Yeah, he doesn't have to keep the zeros.
I mean...
Yeah, go ahead.
The Mishnah's a Nadar, right? I mean, Nazir is called a Nadar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when it said the Dharma in the Mishnah, that meant the results?
Presumably. That's the Gemara's question now, right? Nazirus is a form of Nadar. So is everybody okay with this question of the Gemara? You think it's a good question? Yeah, we have everybody's Haskam over here. Okay, I'll tell you, I don't understand the Gemara's question, Kiyuza. I don't understand what the Gemara's talking about. Because they're two very different halachas over here. Stam Nadorim Lahachmir is a halacha that a person, he verbalizes a certain terminology, and it's not that it's unclear what the... It's not that it's unclear what the term. Well, he verbalized certain terminology, and it has one of two possible interpretations. So we take on the more stringent interpretation, and therefore we make him, we say that his nether is valid. His nether is valid. And the Rosh explains what the reason for that is. Because if the fellow meant that his interpretation should be, basically his terminology should be meaningless, he could have just kept quiet, right? If you're saying something, it's because you want your words to have meaning, to have some import. So therefore, when you say, the Mishnah's case, one of the cases, Harei Alai Kevosar Maliach, Kiyayin Netzach, and we're not sure what does it mean. Basar Maliach is Basar Shlomim or Basar Avodah Zar, right? So we assume he meant something that's going to have halachic ramifications, otherwise he would have just kept quiet. So it means Basar Shlom, Basar Karba. That's the Rosh Hashanah. By a case of Stam Naziris, Stam Naziris has a totally unrelated question. Stam Naziris is, it's a suffix in Metzias. We don't know what the reality is. Now, he hinges the Chalois of his Naziris on a certain reality. Is there a core? Is there $10,000 in my bank account? Or is there isn't? That's not a question of what the guy had in mind. We know he had in mind to be a Nazir. We just don't know that if the reality he was toiling his Naziris on was actually present. That's a very different case.
It can't be proven what a koi is, right?
Right, correct.
So, what does another actually mean? What's he actually saying? He knows that it can't be proven.
You're in the Gemara's next case, when the Gemara brings a proof from Rabbi Lezer?
I can't say that I read the next case.
Okay, but that's what the Gemara, we didn't read it yet, but I'll get to that in a second. Yeah, we'll get to that. So I just want to mention this to all on the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question seems very, very difficult. Because especially if you go like the Rosh's understanding of the Mishnah, Stam Nedarim L'Hachmir is Midin Vadai, that when we say we take on the stringent interpretation of his words, that's a Vadai Yisr, Vadai Chalos Neder, and certainly everybody's going to agree by the case of Nazirus, of Sothic Nazirus, that the only question is a Sothic, we don't know what the reality is. Is there a core in his pile of grain, or there is not a core in his pile of grain? So how can the Gemara compare these two cases and ask a contradiction from the case of Nazirus to the case of the Mishnah? They seem to be totally unrelated and fundamentally different halachas. So this Gemara is very, very bold, very, very difficult to understand. What's the Gemara's question? Does anybody have any ideas, any explanations?
What does it mean? How do you translate exactly meaning of what you're talking about in the Rosh?
From the fact that he wasn't quiet.
Did he explain what he meant?
No, he didn't.
So he meant he was quiet.
No. From the fact that he even said anything to begin with.
Yeah.
So, and as most people, I know this would sound novel nowadays, most people don't just stop saying things.
So if Rosh says he died to less, or he
yeah.
His intent was to answer.
Exactly.
So Nazir should appreciate the same thing? His Nas was the answer intent?
No, but the Sufik, the Rosh is saying that the question of Stam Nedarim L'Hachmir is, the Sufik is what his Das was. So we say L'Hachmir, the Rosh says we have a Svar to say why we go L'Hachmir. But in Naziris, there's no question what Hadas was. We know he really meant to be a Nazir.
More so.
Right. Well, it's more so, but it's a Suffolk in Metzias, though. The Chalois Naziris was not totally on what his Das was. The Chalois Naziris was totally on what was in Metzias, like he said. So we can go a Hokel and say, well, the Metzias is not like he said. How can you bring Goriah from Suffolk Naziris to get a Stam Nedarim? Now, Stam Nedarim is Midin Vadai, like the Rosh says. And Naziris, everybody's going to agree, is only Midin Suffolk. We don't know how much the Korav we'd had. Yeah?
We can find that.
We could, but I'm saying, let's say it got blown away or whatever it was. No way to find it yet.
There may be a distinction in the location. Now,
okay.
The person who's making, I am an answer, in case of such criteria being
right.
met, but we don't know if that criteria is being met,
right.
such as if this person who's approaching on the road is, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
That the location of the doubt is whether or not the object itself, the statement, is fulfilled, whether
right.
or not that is a truth statement
correct.
Or a false thing.
Right.
Whereas in the Stam Nedarim, the examples given are the question of whether or not the semantic content of what the person was saying is one, in whether or not that is something which is observed, something which is mutter.
Mm-hmm.
The location of the doubt is not in the object itself. It is what it is. However, the location is within the person's semantic concept.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. It is an intoxicating concept that people don't speak unless they have something to say.
Right, but it used to be that way. With social media, not so much anymore.
Well, if you look in medieval times, people talk as well.
Were there quite prevalent at that time, the people knew, they saw them,
were they race? domestically or wild?
I'm not sure. I don't have any data on that. Well, how common is that claim? Or no, I don't know.
Why don't you Google it?
I mean, I say koi in English.
Yeah. See, our school actually just translates it as koi. They don't have it. Yeah.
The answer to the first question is no. And the answer to the second no what koi. No. There are many things. There are chimeras, there are flying camels, there are a number of things, of which we have no modern cognate.
Okay, well, we don't know what they are. Those are just some suggestions. Yeah. Not all of them are valid. Okay.
It conceptually identifies
something which is different. Right, exactly. Okay, so that's the Gemara's question. So I saw Haskell Abramsky in his paper on the Tosefta. So the Tosefta also says, Tam Nadar Mahatmer. So Haskell, I saw Haskell ask this question, I was bothered by Haskell Abramsky. And Haskell, I'm not even sure I entirely understand what exactly how he's resolving the issue, but I'll share what I think the words were, and maybe you could help me understand it. Haskell says the halacha of stam nedarim lahachmer, halacha of stam nedarim lahachmer, is not simply a question of what his intent is, like we were assuming. And as if that's the underlying assumption of this halacha, you're right. Then you have a good question. The Gemara makes no sense. What's the Gemara selling to asking a kasha from Suffolk Nazir's law? It's no shayches. Haskell, that's not what the Mishnah is saying. The issue of stam nedarim lahachmer says of Haskell. Is we're concerned that when you say a lashon which has two possible implications, it inherently lacks the ability, the validity of being a valid lashon neder. Why is that? Because let's take a case in the Mishnah. Harei like hebosar maliach, right? So what was the suffix? We're not sure. Is it bosar shlomim, in which case it would be a valid neder, or is it bosar avodah zarah, in which case it wouldn't be a valid neder? When you say a terminology or language which inherently has two conflicting implications, meaning if you go with Buster Carbon, it's Usser, or Buster Avodah Zarah, it's Mutter, that inherently undermines the validity of a Lashon Neder. Lashon Neder has to be something which is clearly saying something which is you're going to answer on yourself. Lahafli, right, exactly. Lahafli, something which is clearly going to answer what it is that you're being matzah to. So, but over here, where it has two contradictory implications, that in and of itself means that it's not a valid Lashon Neder, says Rav Haskell. Not a valid Lashon Neder. So says Rav Haskell, so that's the Gemara's question. When the Gemara says, we see Suffolk Nazir's Lahakil, when you say, I'm going to be a Nazir if there's $10,000 in my bank account, or there's a core of wheat in my pile. So it's very nice that you had strong intent for your Chalois Nazir's to take effect. But the reality is that it only takes effect, you hinged it upon a certain reality of which we're not sure about. So that also has a similar chisar, that also has a similar shortcoming, that terminology, which is that, again, there's something inherently undermining the ability of that Lashon Nazir to take effect. You're right. In the Mishnah, the reason what's undermining the ability of the Lashon to take effect is different, is a different shortcoming than what's undermining the ability by Nazir to take effect. But ultimately, it's the same fundamental chisar in the Lashon. The Lashon of Stam Nedarim Lahachmer, the Lashon of Stam Nedarim Lahakel. So therefore, the Gemara asks the contradiction. Would you tell me a case in the Mishnah where the Lashon itself has some fundamental chisar which undermines the ability to take effect, and yet you still say that we go Lahachmer, we nemon that it should take effect. So there's a contradiction to that from the Halacha of Stam Nedarim Lahakel.
Yeah, but in the case of the Mishnah, if we would have asked him, let's say we were able to find him, in your case, he's left town.
Yeah. Let's say we were to ask him, we could find it.
Right. So he's able to say, even though what he spoke was unclear, but the bottom line is, if we would ask him, what did you mean?
Yeah.
And he says, I meant that it should work, we're going to believe him.
Correct.
Understand, right?
Correct.
By the core, he can never verify.
That's true. That's a very good point. That's true. I see. We're dealing with a lot of lamdanim over here. Right, but that's the halacha of the Mishnah, Pirush and Lahakil. In other words, if Mishnah says very clearly, if he explained what he meant, then we assume that. You're right, in Rechonami. That's, I would say, a separate halacha. Pirush and Lahakil is, in other words, now he explained his Lashon. So the chisaron that you had in his Lashon no longer exists. Once he explains it, again, according to Haskell, what do we say the chisaron is? Chisaron is when you said a Lashon Neder, it was very ambiguous, and therefore, that in and of itself makes it a very shvach Lashon.
To the Hamon not to him.
No, okay. That, irrespective of that, it's inherently an ambiguous lashon, and therefore it undermines the ability of the neder to take effect. When you explain yourself, that chisar no longer exists. You're right. You're asking about it. What about when he explained it? You're right. Then now it's not ambiguous anymore. So you don't have that problem. The Gemara is discussing a lashon in a case where the language was inherently ambiguous, and thus that undermines the chalois neder. And the Gemara is comparing that very, very, very justifiably. So Gemara is comparing that to the case of a nizirus, where the lashon also, for another reason, was very weak in terms of its ability to create a chalois nizirus, and yet we go lahakel. That's the Gemara's theory, Chatzal says.
Now this is actually a question that I answered on the Margaret yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave an answer which I'm having a very hard time stacking with the professor.
Okay.
Which is that in terms of muscle lish, I think everybody in this room has eaten nothing but muscle lish for quite some time. So what's the problem? And his answer was, like Rabbi Shifcha talking to the sailors about words, is that the meaning of the word,
yeah,
the common parlance at that time, was Batsum Aliyah referred to as
or a carbon, possibly a carbon as well, right?
I have no problem with what I'm saying.
Okay.
In which case, that implies that the moment it is spoken, regardless of the conceptual difference, the moment that it is spoken, that now goes into whatever the common language is. And that would say there is no suffering, that it is what the common language says. And which I replied to him, that's why I am by name originalist in constitutional interpretation. I don't know if Rabbi Margaret has read that through Chatzal.
I don't think we're right because it was a serious Rabbi Chatzal, but I just think you have to add a little bit more clarification or what Rabbi Margaret was saying. Rabbi Margaret didn't mean to say that because that was the common parlance, so therefore now that's how we know it means, we know that it means Basar Shlomim, let's say, and that's why we say Stamina Dharma Hasma. Margaret was just explaining why it is that those are two both valid interpretations of the term Basar Maliyah.
That brings it into the suffix, which you wouldn't be machmer.
No, so the Mishnah is saying that it's a suffix, which you would be machmer.
I know that's what
the Mishnah is saying. Yeah. So Rabbi is explaining why we're machmer. It's because both of those possibilities are valid interpretations, and the halacha is you go machmer by nadar.
And you just go back to self-directed.
Oh, very good, very good, very good, very, very, very good. So the problem with the classical is, that problem with the Shtigal of Chatzal, the Koran term Chatzal comes out not like the Rush. The Rush we saw, he says very seems to say very clearly that the halach of Stam Nadarim Lahachmir is a Din Vaday. The Koran term Chatzal, you can't say that. Chatzal's whole understanding of the Mishnah is predicated on the fact that it's really a suffix, and we assume the more stringent interpretation, and the Gemara is asking contradiction on that from Naziris, where we assume the more lenient interpretation. But Rav Chatzal's understanding of the basic set of the Mishnah is such that it's a suffix. In other words, he said an inherently vague, ambiguous language, right? And we take on the more stringent interpretation. The more characterization from the zero. Very, very nice. But I thought about that. Right. So that is a problem with Rav. I mean, not a problem. The Mabit does say like Rav Chatzal, but it doesn't jive with the Rush. And we're going to say the passage of the what? Who? The Mabit was an early Achron. He was in the 1500s. Rav Moshe Trana. He lived in Tzfas at the time of the Beit Yosef. Mabit. There you have a Chuvis Mabit. We just finished Sukkot. The Mabit is Mamish, one of the most famous Tachronim on Sukkot, because he's the one who says that an Esrog is only a problem if you see the problem when you're holding it at a distance. Now you have to hold it up to your eyes. That's the famous Mabit everybody quotes.
No, he's the one in Parshas Noyach.
I know, right?
One Mabit I know, Parshas Noyach is Zohar, Tazilateva, Tully, and Dorosov.
A Mabit on Parshas Noyach? I'm not familiar. My bit has a Perish Altera? I don't know.
Yes.
My bit has a Perish Altera?
I have seen various. I have not read it. I have seen various
books. Cool. From my bit? Interesting. Okay. Could be.
Most notably on
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
As far as not going back and asking the person what he said, what he meant. Yeah, we see that many places. That you don't ask the person afterwards, or if you do ask the person, he says, thank you.
So that's more like the Aedis. More like the Aedis. So there has to be tested the deeper, yeah.
But it's not a
system. No, it's not. I mean, here we do it. It's not around. Okay, says the Gemara.
I'm having a problem understanding this more. Sharing how much grain he has, or says if it's a koi or not. You know, if you ask
Hey, can I just want to read that one of the Gemara, if that's okay with you. I didn't read it yet. You're a little bit ahead of me. Sorry. So Harabila Amar Abzer Lakatra. Abzer says not a contradiction. The Mishnah and the Braisa, the Mishnah in Nedarim and the Mishnah regarding Naziris are two different opinions. Harabila Zer Harabonam. The Tanya was that a Braisa Hamatish Chaisa Yubehemtoi. Somebody's Matish. He consecrates Chaisa Yubehemtoi. So presumably Ube, here's the conjunctive vav, which means he consecrates both. My chayas and behemoth, my wild animals and my domesticated animals, he's consecrating them for hektish. Now, if you look at Rashi, well, what's considered Rashi, what's miyuchas to Rashi, Rashi indeed says that. He is a Rishon. You know, it's worth seeing what he says if you have time.
Yeah.
So Rashi says shehektish kol chayus ubehemos sheyesh loy. He's makdish all the chayas and behemos that he has. So the conjunctive of is literal, Rashi says. And if a koi was in, you know, part of his flock, so that's included in the consecration over here. In the consecration. Now the Ran disagrees. The Ran says chayisoy oibahemtai. The Ran learns it's talking about either or. Not all of them. So let's see what the Gemara says. The time looked at a bright makdish chayisoy behemtai, hikdish sakoi. So the koi is included in the hektish. Blazer says, well, hektish is hakoi. The koi is not included in the hektish. So the Gemara wants to say that the question of whether you say stam nedarim, lahachmer, or lahakil is contingent upon this machloikas or blazer in the rabbonah. How so? The Gemara explains. Mando amar mamoine ma'ayil the stake of gufei nami ma'ayil. Somebody who is willing to countenance bringing his monetary possessions into a question of suffix, so he'll bring himself into a suffix also. So the Hainu, so according to the Rabbanon who say that the koi, which is a suffix, is included in the hektish, so too, when it comes to Nadorim, he's willing to count it as a possibility or a terminology which also would make his nether valid, would make his vow valid, and therefore the nether takes effect even in a question of suffix. So and the Rabbanon say, so culture says bottom of the Amud, Uman the Omar Mamonu Lomailaseka, but the Rabbanon who say that when he makes a hektish on his animals, he does not include the animal which is a suffix. Gufei kolsha came to Loma Ailaseka. Certainly his body, his own person, he's not going to bring into a question of suffix. And therefore if we have a question of a nether, whether he meant for it to take effect or not, the Rabbanon would say that it does not take effect and we assume the more lenient interpretation. So here again, we have a very difficult comparison the Gemara is making. Because again, the way we explain the halacha of stam nedarim lahachmer versus stam nedarim lahakel, whether you go like Rav Chaskel's pshat, whether you go like the Rosh's pshat, that from the fact that he didn't keep quiet, it means that he obviously meant to ask for something. What does it have to do with this case of being matish an animal? Of being ma'al nashi l'seiko? I mean, ma'al nashi l'seiko is the guy said a loshen, we're not sure what his loshen meant. So what do you mean? If the Rabbanan say he's going to be ma'al nafshi l'seika by hektish, he's going to be ma'al nafshi l'seika by nadar. Again, the question is by the case of hektish, it's a question of mitzias, of reality, of a fact on the ground. Is the koyachaya? Is it a behemoth? Right. So let's say according to the Ran's explanation, he's makdish only one, either chayas or behemoths. Again, we're not sure what a koyach is. Fine. But the case of stam nedarim lahachmer, so we're just not sure what the interpretation of his language is, and where he's not around that, we can ask him. Yeah.
You're just starting a third case.
Well, what's the third case?
Third case is either.
Right. So
you've got something which has exemplified a suffix, and actually, you know, for instance, is an asteroid a vegetable or a tree?
Correct.
It has
both qualities.
Exactly.
Right. So that's a very good question. I would suggest that we have a machlokas Hashanim how to interpret this Gemara over here. Is the koi, when we say he's matched both or either? So what are they arguing about? Rashi and the Ran. The Rosh, I believe, also take a look at the Rosh. The Rosh also in the first Rosh, when he brings the mission to ask mission be parked out the Tyrus, Gigon Damar Harini Nozer, Shesh Bikrizeme Yakor, Oish Amar al Hakoi, Harini Nozer Shazahaya Ubehema. The Rosh disagrees with the Ran. The Rosh understands the cases, he's being matzish both. So what would you say they're arguing about, the Rosh and the Ram? They seem to have a very fundamental disagreement in the interpretation of this Gemara. The Gemara is asking a question. The Gemara is being told the Machloket. This is the question of Stam Nedar Mahachmer on this Machloket by Makdish Asakoy. And the Ram says it means he's Makdish only one or the other. And the Rosh says, no, he's being Makdish both of them. Being Makdish both of them. So what would you say the Machloket is? Well, there is. Between the Rosh and the Ram, there's Machloket.
Well, it's in the end. It's not a suffix any longer.
So according to the Rosh's understanding of the case, it's not a suffix you're saying, because he was Makdish both. So for sure a Koy should be included. Right? So what would the Rabbanan say to that? I mean, he said Chayar Behema, so let's assume, without your thought for a second, let's assume Kipshuto that it's a suffix. Kipshuto suffix Chayar Behema just means it's either or. It's not a third category. So if you say it's either or, so according to the Rosh, how do you understand the Gemara? He's been Makdish everything, Chayar Behema. So what is the Rav? How can the Rabbanan say that the Koy is not included? No matter what side you name on, that it's the Chai or Behema, he says it's the Mimai, the Chai or Behema. So why would it not be included? How do you read the Gemara according to the Rosh? This case, how do you understand the Rabbanan according to the Rosh? He said, Chai say Ubehemtoi. So Koy is either one or the other. So why would it not be included in the Hekdesh? No, because the Pasha is not like your side. And not your side. Why is it not? It's either Chai or Behema. Why not? What?
What's an amoeba?
I don't know what's an amoeba. You tell me. What's an amoeba?
It's a unicellular creature. Is it a high or behemoth? No, it's neither.
Okay.
What if a watermelon? It's neither of high or behemoth. There are things other than high or behemoth.
No, but I say the pastures of the Gemara, I'll say the Gemara in Hulin, the Gemara assumes that it has the status, it's either or. And let's say like Abikisi Adam, right? It's not a third category. Either it's high Abikisi Adam because it's a high, or it's not high Abikisi Adam because it's a behemoth. And more doesn't seem to entertain a possibility that it's a third unique category. I'm just, if you assume that for the moment, which I think
may,
is a fair assumption.
I recall incorrectly.
Yeah.
I believe the redaction is that we adopt the stringencies.
Correct, because it's a suffix.
Right,
a suffix.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. It is a suffix, period.
No, but it's a suffix.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. So I'm just asking a very simple question. According to the Rosh, what is the understanding of the Rabbanan? Why would the Rabbanan say the Hekdesh is not Chal on the Koy? You say it's Mimakdesh, it's Chayes or Behemah.
Syntactically, you can also do it very easily.
Yeah.
If you look at the role of or the word and in English,
yeah.
Not only does it join and separate,
yeah.
You know, if I say that you are coming to Shear,
yeah.
I say you and your Gemara, it is understood from that you are separate from the Gemara.
Correct.
Regardless of your internalization.
Okay.
You are separate from your Gemara. I don't say you and your hands are coming.
Right, okay.
Because they're done.
Right.
The word, the vav and the word and both imply a separation.
Okay. So therefore what?
So, therefore, you're saying that those things which are definitely a behemoth and those things which are definitely a chaya, they are separate.
Yeah.
They're not it's a thing.
Right. Well, we don't know that it's definitely neither. We're not sure. That's what I'm saying. It's not definitely neither.
Whether or not that is an intrinsic or a predicate property remains to be defined.
Okay.
But it is a property.
Okay, I'm not sure I agree with you about that, but I think what you're saying is as follows, and this I think is a good terror. In other words, we're asking, according to the Rabbanan, Mimonoshach, the Koy should be included in the Hekdesh. So, but there is a svar to be said, and that is when a person has in mind, similar to what we're saying by, or to Reb Chatzal's side by Nedarim, that when you have in mind to be Makdish something, so your das is only the things that you articulate with a certainty. So we said Chai or Behema, one of the two. A Koy, which you're right, it could be, it's either a Chai or a Behema, but since, after all said and done, it's not a certainty what it is. There's no vados as to what a koi is. On a halachic level, you're right. It's either higher behema. But when you're being maktish something, we also have to discuss the practical aspects of what you had in mind when you're being maktish. So the Rosh says that when the Rosh's understanding is that when you're maktish something, you're only maktish the things which you have a vados about, which you can maktish with a certainty, not something which just by process of elimination would fit into. So that's why the Koi is not included in the Hekdesh according to the Rambam. Now the Ran would disagree with that. The Ran would say no. When a person is being Makdish, he's making a neder, we look at the literal interpretation of his words. A Koi is either or, it has to be. So if he says Chai, so even have to according to the Ran, the Rabbanim would agree that the Hekdesh is Chal. And that's why the Ran disagrees with the Rosh, and the Ran has to say that the case is only where he says either or. Only either or the Rabbanim would disagree with Rabbi Lazar, according to the Ran. But if he said Chai, and Behema, the Ran disagrees with us, the Rabbonim would agree to Hekdesh is Chal over there because a Koi has to be either one.
I mean, you're very kind to what I said reminded you of that. Because
I tried.
It's a different answer.
Yeah, but it did give me an inkling of what I was wanted to say, so that's why I gave you the credit.
Absolutely no.
What?
At least not with me. You can flatter anybody else you want.
You know, my great uncle, Biosha Ber, Salvechik, so somebody told me that he was a grandson, actually called him. Rabbi Yosher Ber, he wasn't very kind in Jir, at least when he was younger, Soloveitchik. I mean, the Bochum, they were terrified of him, terrified. I spoke to Talmud from that Tekufa, like the earlier Tekufas when he said Jir, when it was in Yiddish, he gave a rapid-fire Yiddish. Like, you know, he said the Bochum, there was like a big, there was a, like a pillar in the middle of the Shiru. The Bochum would fight who gets to sit behind the pillar, so he wouldn't see that. Because he'd call on them in Shir, and if you didn't say, you know, that was when he was younger. Well, yeah, he got old. He mellowed a little bit. He realized Americans are a little different, whatever, okay.
I don't think Rabbi ever mellowed.
Well, Rabbi, he died relatively young. I'm saying, he passed away in 1960, so, you know, yeah. How do you, I don't know. But I'll call upon him. So he said, so Abokhar in the Shir, Yosher asked the question, Abokhar suggested something, and then he immediately corrected himself. He said, no, Rabbi, I'm sorry, it's a mistake. It's not a mistake, it's wrong. So, mistake, you know, is an accident. No, you said something wrong.
It helps you remember.
Well, the Pachtocha, we daven for it. Says the Gemara. So that's the Gemara. The Gemara is hinging. So again, according to our Pachtocha, we have a little bit of an understanding how the Gemara is hinging all these cases upon one another. But again, as you pointed out, our Pachtocha is not going like the Rosh. According to the Rosh, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to understand. And for that, I would recommend you look at Chidushi HaGranath. Are you familiar with Rabbi Naftali Trop? Okay, so look at the Chidushi HaGranath. He has a long shtickle in this Gemara where he addresses these questions also. It's a shtickle that I tried to go through at like 12:30 last night. A Granath is not a good shtickle to go through when it's 12:30. So I can't say that I understood it entirely, but he does address all these questions. Okay, if you have time, you look at Chidushi HaGranath on the Dorim, on Daf Yechetzim Abayis. He addresses these questions. Amalei Abayis, Abayis says, let's see the Gemara first. Amalei Abayis. Abai says, "B'mayu kimtol a suffik the zirus lagal Rabbi Lezer." He says, "So this Mishnah in Tyrus, Talab Yisheseman Av, you're telling me he's talking about suffik the zirus lahakel. It's going like Rabbi Lezer. A masefa. So let's read the seifa of that Mishnah. You want to come with Rabbi Lezer? What about the seifa? Suffik b'choyres echad b'chori adam echad b'chori behemam. You have a question about a b'chor. Now, whether it's regarding a b'chor of a person, b'chor of an animal. In other words, two animals had babies, and it had a zohar and a keva. We're not sure which one came first. If the animal had a zohar, so it'd be chayv and b'chayra. If the animal had a nekeva, so it wouldn't be chayv and b'chayra. We're not sure which one came out first. The animal had twins. Or similarly with a woman, she had two babies. We're not sure which one came out first. So the halochas ha'moitzim b'chaveru l'foraya. So since it's a question of momentous, of monetary compensation, the koyin is the one who wants to claim the b'char for himself. He has to bring the proof. The burden of proof is upon him to show that the animal had the zohar, had the male first. But otherwise, the Yisrael could say, listen, you know, you bring a raya, otherwise I'm keeping it. The Tonyalo, but we learned that was taught about that halacha in a braisa, the asur and begiz of avoda. Nevertheless, one has to conduct himself regarding this animal that is still asur begiz of avoda. You're not allowed to shear. Regarding the halachos that relate to iser, so there was iser, you have to conduct yourself with the halachos of isurim. So what's the question? It says the Rosh.
You don't have to do a pigeon.
What?
You don't have to do a
pigeon. So with a b'char behemo, let's say, whether you have we'll see the Rosh. The Rosh will explain. Take a look at the first Rosh on the Amud Ema. Seifa Sovik b'char zachar b'char adam echad b'char behemo. Seifa the Sovik Naziris. The question of the Seifa of this case is the Seifa of the Mishnah Sovik Naziris. What's the case? Sovik b'char adam kunchi pila lafon of Sovik nefal Sovik ruach. A woman had. We're not sure whether what she miscarried, and what did she miscarry? What's considered halachically to be a human child, or was it just other bodily fluids, things like that. You know, sometimes it gets a little iffy to determine. But, you know, the Mishnah Bechorot discusses, again, the Mishnah Nida discusses exactly what the requirements are, but it's not always so clear. Not always so clear. Yeah. I'm sorry? I'm going to pretend I understood what you just said. But now you can explain anyways, so you can be kind to me.
That's the nature.
The word is hydatiniform
mole.
Hydatiniform mole. Oh, it's two words. Oh, okay. Hydatiniform mole. Okay. That's the scientific term for... Okay. Yeah, that's the mission. No, but a sandal we know is not a child. But that the mission over there discusses those things exactly.
This is the cases where she had this first, and then she had a baby after.
Exactly. So we're not sure what she had first was that a child, which would have now made the second one not a bechor. Bechor behema bein tmeah bein tahira, or you have a bechor of a behema, whether a kosher or not kosher, a donkey or whatever. You go in shtei behemas. So we have two animals. Achas bechor v'achas loy bechor. One had it with its first child. One didn't. The Yoldu B'yachad, they had them at the same time. Achaz Zohar, Achaz Nekeva. And we're not sure which one had the Zohar, which one had the Nekeva. But you do, Mi Yoldu, Zohar, Mi Yoldu, Nekeva. Hamutz Mechavar L'Horayah HaKoyin. The Koyin, Bo L'Hoytzi Mi Olav, he wants to take the animal from the Yisrael. So, Bo L'Hoytzi Olav L'Havi Raya, he has to bring the Raya. U'Bukhar Behem B'Tar, so the Halacha is by B'Bukhar Behem B'Tar HaYiro, Yirash Yistoyv. So you let it graze until it gets a blemish. Then once it gets a blemish, it doesn't have... Doesn't have the kedusha that requires it to be offered as a carbon, so then you can eat it yourself. And by bechor of a donkey, so you're a petach hamor, so you separate a sheep and you transfer the kedusha onto the sheep, and then you could eat it. Okay. So the Gemara's question over here is: so the question is, you see, that when it comes to a sophic kachim, we go lechumra. You want to tell me this Mishnah is Rabbi Lezer who says Sufik Nizirus Lahakil, but the safe of that Mishnah states that when you have a Sufik regarding Bechor, you go Lachumra. So presumably the Gemara's understanding that it's comparable?
I say comparable.
I'm from Canada, so there's some words which I think are different than America. I didn't even realize this, but I was telling somebody about my carburetor. You know what a carburetor is? You know what a carburetor is, right? In America, they call it garbage disposal. You know, carburetor. I didn't even know there was a fellow. The guy, like, he looks at me like I fell off the moon. Like, what's a carburetor? Am I speaking English? And then, you know, it turned out that I, you know, what?
Part of the car is a carburetor.
Carburetor. No. The thing under the sink that gets rid of all is called a carburetor in Canada. I didn't realize that there was any chilluk between Canada and America.
Yes, you just told us.
At least something. I told you was going to say, I was going to say, I tell you, Margaret asked me if I told you any chidushim. You said yes. We know how to say garbage disposal in Canadian English. Okay.
It's
an early Achron, yeah.
You're safe now. Cars don't have carburetors.
Anyway, so the Gemara is assuming that the two are comparable ideas. And it was the question of something that's Jewish Lahakil, and the question of, you're not sure which animal had the Bechor, or whether the animal had a Zohar and a Kevo, so that's a comparable. Again, you can ask the same question. What's the comparison the Gemara is making? The question of something Nazirus Lahakil, something that Dharma Sam Dharma Hachim, is the question of terminology. Is there a Chalais Nether? The question by Bai Bechor is, it's regular Sfeika Daraisa Lachumra. I'm not sure what happened. So we have Kololim, how you approach such a case. Regarding the monetary aspects of it, Hamatz Mechavel of Araya. Regarding the Isra aspects of it, so it's also the Giza Vavoida. What does the Chor have to do with the Dorim, or even with Nazirus? Nazirus is a question of the guy's das. The guy is taking a vow upon himself. A Bechor is a question of, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure. Did I put on tefillin today? I didn't put on tefillin today. What's to do with Stam Dharma Hachmer? It's a question of regular Sufik that, you know, you come across called Terakul. So, you know, this question that we have, it comes out again and again in the Gemara. You know, so it needs a lot more in your analysis. Yeah, Lahafli, but that wouldn't be relevant by Bechor. Bechor is not a question of Neder. Even if you want to say Lahafli, right, like Rav Chaskel Abramsky's Yisoid, that has to be inherently unambiguous, right? But Bechor doesn't have that. Bechor is not a question of Neder. It's a question of inherently. Okay. Is it time to stop now?
No.
3 minutes out of 4.
We
stop at 50? Oh, okay. Okay, let's see. So when should I stop?
Allah, 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Oh, 3 minutes.
3 minutes?
I want 5 minutes.
Okay. So that's the Gemara.
Time is time. Time and words are important.
Okay. Says the Gemara.
You can pray. That's a good thing.
So Omerle, so Abai said, so Abzir said to Abai, that's not a question. Am I come Adam is kedusha haba meila le kedusha haba biyarod bideyadam. So it could be that Abzir is already giving, and I was using this idea to answer the question. He's like, it's not a question, not a contradiction from Bechor. Bechor is the question of kedusha haba meila. Kedusha haba meila means it's kedusha that comes from Shemayim. The Torah determined that whichever animal the male animal is born first, it's kadosh. If it's not born first, it's not kadosh. That's not a comparable situation to a case where a person is the one creating the chalais kedush or the chalais neder. And I think Rav Zera's answer is what we're saying. You know, the chor is a question of mitzias, practical mitzias, which animal is born first. It's not a question of your das. Neder, nezir, is a question of your das. It's a chalais that the person himself is creating. That's Rav Zera's answer. But the question is, what was the Gemara thinking? I mean, that's such an obvious answer. The Gemara shouldn't even have had a question. What was the Bai thinking in the first place to ask this question? That answer, observed answer, is so obvious. You go, what's the Havamina? So indeed, the Rashba over here, he says, you're right. This wasn't Abai's real question. It was just a lead up to the next question. He was just like kind of testing the waters with Abzera. He wants to, you know, is Abzera somebody that I have to be scared of? You know, when I ask him a question? No, I understand. But that's what Rashba says. Rashba says it was just a lead up to the next question. This question wasn't exactly the strongest question. Okay, says the Gemara, El Yikasha HaKasha. This is Abai's real question. If it's difficult, the following is difficult. The Mishnah says, something Mashkin Li Tamei Tomei. You have a question whether mashkin, whether liquids are tame. So if it's a question whether the liquid itself is tame, so we assume the chumrah, the liquid is tame. The tame achem, so you mean tame other things tar, then it's tar. Divir amir, these are words of amir, v'chein ha'ir b'lazer, amir k'dvar amir b'lazer, would say like amir also. So mi spir la b'lazer la tame tame, so the question is, so we're saying, we see that the rush over here says, So we see that we're machmer over here. We see that we're machmer over here when it comes to a question of sofik tumah, of sofik tumah, question of sofik. So the Gemara says, umisvirla blazer leitami, but it's not true. Does a blazer hold that in that in order that if it's a question regarding making something else tummy that is tummy, about time we looked at a brisa. Blazer says in tumah lamashkin. There's no tumah for mashkin kolikur. That mashkin never had any tumah. Tell you that, I'll prove it to you. Shari hated Yosef ben Yoyezer ish tzereda. Yosef ben Yoyezer testified al kamso dachon, that al kamso was a type of grasshopper. So Yosef ben Yoyezer said he had a besur that it was kosher. But mashkin beis mitzvachai dachon, that the liquids, the water, whatever is being used in the butchery area of the beis hamikdash where they were processed the meat, that mashkin was also tahar, was also pure, but not mekabel tumah. So honey chol shmuel, so according to Shmuel, makes sense. Damar dachon mil tam yachir. So according to Shmuel, who says that when Rabbi Lezer says that it's tahor, it means just from being mitami other things, but in itself is tamei. So then it's not a contradiction in the Mishnah. I will tell Thomas Atzman Yeshba and Shapir. According to Shmuel, Rabbi Lezer indeed holds that it itself is tamei. El Rav Darmer the Chanamish, according to Rabbi, who says that it's mamish tahor, ma'ikol amemar. You have a contradiction with Rabbi Lezer. So the Gemara says, you're right. We can't say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Lezer because of the question that we just asked. El Harav Yehuda v'Harav Shimon. See, it's a question of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. That's the answer to the contradiction. The time looked at a brisa, harini nozer. A guy says, I'm a nozer, im yesh b'chri hazem yekor. Whether if there's 100 kor in this pile of grain, b'hol ha'chumot ha'shenegav, then it was stolen or shavit, it was lost. There's no way of determining whether it actually had that amount. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Yehuda Mat, Rabbi Yehuda says, sofik nezirus l'hakil. B'shemen oyser, B'shemen says, sofik nezirus l'hachmer. So that's how we want to resolve the contradiction between the Mishnah of Nedarim and the Mishnah of Nezirus. It's a question of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So I'm just going to leave you off with one question of the Rashba. And you can think about this. Very, very shocking question. The Rashba asked the following. Later on in the Sechach Nedarim, we have a Mishnah which says that if somebody says, Kainam Olai, he's asking himself matzah or something until he asters upon himself. He says, I'm Kainam Olai, I'm astering matzah, ad pinei ha-pesach. That's the terminology. Pinei ha-pesach.
Ad pinei ha-pesach?
Ha-pesach, yeah. So the question is, does he mean to aster for the duration of Pesach, entirety of Pesach? Or only until the beginning of Pesach. Beginning of Pesach. So the Gemara says, we say, he means only until the beginning of Pesach. He doesn't mean the entirety of Pesach. In fact, the Rashba Kasha, Rashba on our Sugya, he says, I understand. We have a rule in our Sugya, Sam Nadarm Lahachmir. So why over there, when a person asks math on himself, why do we name on Lakula? We have this quest, it seems to be a comparable case. We have a question on how to interpret his Lashon. His Lashon was asked, Tenei HaPesach, one of two ways of interpreting it. And we assume the more lenient interpretation, we say he's only osir until Pesach, but not for the duration of Pesach. If you say Shavu, I won't eat Masa, that's no good. But Nedarim is Chal B'Chesta. You say cut him on Masa. So the Rajba asked, I thought Tam Nedarim HaHachmer, he should be Yosher for the duration of Erev. So you have to figure out, what's the difference in that case of the Rajba and this case over here, Tam Nedarim HaHachmer? I don't mean to start your kavanah during Shemona Esrei, Rabbi Yisai, but you have what to think about now.
That's the chumrah. That's the chumrah.
It doesn't mean to ask. It's a nedar.
I'm saying to you.